Transfiguration Sunday is one of the lesser known holidays of the church, and Presbyterians only recently really began to celebrate it along with what was called the liturgical renewal, which helps us to observe the life and the ministry of Christ in a systematic way. It is where we get the seasons of Advent and Epiphany and Lent and what comes next. The mind is just not working. I think I was overexposed to Mickey Mouse. The Kingdom Tide, I guess it was, but different names. But Transfiguration Sunday marks the borderline between Epiphany and the season of Lent. It is the height of the mountain before we go down into the valley of self-reflection. It is the last time we'll see white on the pulpit and the baptismal font and the communion table until Easter Sunday. So enjoy it while it's here. Transfiguration for many of us is something that happened to Jesus. And you got Peter and James and John, the kind of witnesses there, and they don't know what to say in terms of what they've just seen. And so Peter, who is never, never at a loss for words, says, "Master, it's good we're here. Let's build three dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah." And every time I hear him talk about that, I can't help but think about some of these mega churches, you know, the big ones where the music and the bulletin is on the big screens, and you have the rock and roll bands who don't wear shoes, and you have the preacher who's in blue jeans and a pullover shirt. And they got great things for the kids. I mean, great youth programs. I call all of that Six Flags Over Jesus. And that's what Peter is throwing out. Let's make a festival out of this. Let's make a memorial to the moment. Let's have attractions. We can have pony rides for the kids. We can sell concessions to raise some money. We can do all these wonderful things, and Jesus won't have anything of it. And all of a sudden, you know, it's just them and Jesus. And Jesus' clothes are now white. But guess what? They're not going to stay white. They're going to go down in the valley, and he's going to be probably splattered with mud from the trail down. He's going to have sweat stains on the neck and under the arms, and they're going to get down in the valley, and there's going to be sick people who need to be tended to and touched. And there's going to be this road that leads to Jerusalem. That white isn't going to last very long. I remember when I was in youth groups, we'd go on retreats. And, you know, youth pastors are always kind of those upbeat, joyful people. And we would have this, usually they were in seminary, so they hadn't really met the real world yet. And they'd always make sure that everybody on these youth retreats was on a mountaintop experience, an emotional high, and then we would get back to the church and we would be taking our luggage out of the bus or whatever, and, you know, we came back to the real world as it was, and that mountaintop experience didn't last very long, and we asked why. Why can't the world be as wonderful as it was on that retreat? Why can't church be as inspirational and enjoyable and as celebratory all the time as it was on that retreat. Why do we have to come back down here and do the dirty work of the kingdom? Why do we have to feed the hungry and heal the sick? Why do we have to reach out to the marginalized of society? Why do we have to go out and do things and be with people we just as soon not do and meet? And the reason we do that is because that's what Jesus did. He came down off the mountain, and the white of his clothes didn't last very long because the world really doesn't care about how happy we are in Jesus. The world asks, what can you do for us? And Jesus asks, what are you going to do for them? And a strange thing happens, and it happens to each and every one of us every time we step out in faith and do the things we just soon not do and meet the people we just soon not know and heal the sick and clothe the naked. Every time we dare to dip our toes into those somewhat soiled waters, we are just a little bit transfigured ourselves. We're just a little bit changed on the inside. We begin to develop not only a spiritual muscle memory of response to God's call, we actually begin to be fulfilled by it. Sometimes we actually enjoy it. I was spending the night at a men's shelter some years back in Atlanta, which is always kind of an adventure in and of itself. And there was a fellow who came up to me and he said, you know, I was a pastor. And of course, nobody ever lies in those circumstances. And so I said, really? And then he said a few more things that made me believe that he not only had been a pastor, but in many ways he still was. He had become a hopeless, well, there's no such thing as a hopeless alcoholic. It is hope that fuels their recovery. But he lost his church. He was an Episcopal priest, and he wound up in the Bowery Mission. And he slowly sobered up. But of course, he lost his credentials as a priest. And so he said, when I asked him about that, he said, I was an Episcopal priest. And I said, I was an Episcopal pastor. And I said, you mean a priest? And he said, no, not anymore. I'm not a priest, but I'm still a pastor. I still have this burning desire to be with people, and I've been sober now for 6 years, but I cannot seem to get on my feet to work and to get someplace to live. He said, so now I feel called to be in the shelters, and I don't have any money, but I have a place to sleep, and I don't have any cash, but they do feed me here. And the overarching reward I get is knowing somehow that by ministering to the people in these shelters, I'm being transfigured each and every day. I'm being made more whole each and every day. It was about 2 years later, and I got word through the grapevine in Atlanta that he had passed away. He had suffered, we believe, a heart attack in the middle of the night, and his passing was quick. But I can't help but think that in many ways it was glorious. And I and probably 200 other people showed up for his funeral. And the chaplain of that particular shelter conducted the service. And oddly enough, the guy's name was James Carter. Yeah, really, Jimmy Carter. And they kept calling him Father Jimmy, all the guys who knew him and all the girls. And the chaplain said, you know, Father Jimmy had a pretty big congregation. He said, on any given night in Atlanta, there are over 2,000 people sleeping in the shelters. And Father Jimmy considered each one of them to be his parishioners. He couldn't celebrate Mass anymore, so he celebrated meaning with the way in which he touched people's hearts. And he couldn't do baptisms, but he heard many a confession. He couldn't grant absolution, but he did grant assistance that comes with a listening ear. And maybe in that way, Father Jimmy, well, maybe his transfiguration is a lesson for all of us. I remember it was raining at that time. Father Jimmy was being laid to rest with donations that had been gathered pretty much by the homeless community, people chipping in a buck here, $2 there. And it was not a pauper's funeral, but it certainly wasn't one of those first-rate funerals. We stood on a muddy ground in a county field where countless others had been buried. And I remember after the service, the sun came out, literally. I'm not being schmaltzy here. The sun came out and began to warm the mud. And the funeral home came and they put that temporary marker that they have. And all it said was Father Jimmy and the date of his death. And somehow when the sun hit that little aluminum marker, I stood there and looked, and believe me, it shone. The reflection of the sun on that little temporary marker was as bright as the sun itself, and that almost blinded me. And the guy standing next to me said, I guess he made it after all. And here's the sign for all of us, that white shining light in our faces. Maybe that's Father Jimmy calling us to keep on going. I can't help but think that that is a lesson in and of itself. Father Jimmy's coming and going and everything in between was certainly more than anybody dared to expect. Yeah, he died what might be called a skid row bum. But he was, well, I hate to use this term in the midst of a bunch of lawyers, but he was sober as a judge when he passed. One of my delightful characters that I will never forget, Father Jimmy and the transfiguration of the world. It's true. It happens to all of us. Let us pray. Eternal God, you give us gifts of people such as Father Jimmy. People who may not have much in life, but who yield themselves to you. Help us, we pray, to be open to being transfigured, no matter what our circumstance may be in life. And when the waters grow turbulent and the skies grow dark, help us to remember, be still, my soul. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.